So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Rupa Goswami Pada Ki. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai. We were discussing yesterday about the five components of Bhakti Ras. And this whole chapter, which lasts for 200 pages, which is quite long, is all about Vibhav, which is the basis of Ras, tasting Ras and experiencing Ras. And yesterday we described the Stai Rati. At one point I want to mention, we were saying yesterday that all the jivas, all the Krishna has Vilas, or Leela with his different parts and parcels, his own Sarup Shakti. He has so many Leelas with the coward boys and the gopis and his mother and father, his Sarup Shakti. Then his little more different category of Shakti also is Jiva Shakti, Tatastha Shakti. And Krishna also has Leelas with them. Srishti Leela. We're in it. Srishti Leela. But the arrangement and the intention of the Lord is all of his Shaktis, all of his parts and parcels, whether they're parts and parcels of his Sarup Shakti, or whether the parts and parcels of his Tatastha Shakti or Sandini, whatever Shakti, they are all expanded from him for the purpose of Leela. Loving exchanges of love, a relationship of love, and the greatest intimacy. So we see that Krishna is telling in Gita, Mavaiva Amsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. That the Jiva Shakti is Amsha. He says, is my part, you are my Ansh, my part and parcel. We explained how this Tamasimam Jyotirgama, and human life, we're meant to come out of ignorance and go to the light. Gamana means to move. Gama, go, move towards. So the initial ignorance is that I'm body. And the first understanding of coming out of ignorance is Aham Brahmasmi. That is the light. Tamasimam Jyoti. The Jyoti is Brahma Jyoti. I am part of that Jyoti. Aham Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. I am light. I am undifferentiated consciousness. And that philosophy is there. But as one goes further and tries to develop deeper his relationship with the Absolute Truth by good fortune, then he realized actually, as Krishna is telling Gita, I am not the Absolute Truth. I am part and parcel. Krishna is saying, Mama Amsha, you are mine. Mam Amsha, Mayavamsha Jiva Loke. Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The jivas, the Tatastha jivas in this body, in this world, are actually part and parcel of Krishna. And then a part has a function to serve the whole. The fingers serve the body, like this. So then the jiva, he goes further beyond the Brahman conception, and he says, well, if I'm part of God, he must also be a person, and he comes to the idea that I'm a servant, the jivara surupaya, which we mentioned. So at each level, jiva that's uncovering as consciousness in the search for self-realization. Because gamana, tamasimam jyotirgama, means the search, the gaman, the search for light. I'm in ignorance, bodily conception of life, suffering, birth, death, disease, old age. I want out. I want liberation, freedom. I want advance. So then he comes in contact with different philosophies, and he may be satisfied. But if there's some gnawing disturbance in his mind and heart, he may not be satisfied with that Brahman conception. He said, no, there's something deeper. All this rust in the world, all this bhav and prem and sentiments, it can't all be false and illusion, as the Mayavadis say. There must be some stratum, some basis of reality behind. There must be transcendental rust beyond this jada rust, these material relationships. So this idea. So then he comes in contact with Vaishnava conception. It's his search. His search is taking him. His first search is Gamana takes him out of the body to the Brahman, that I am not the body, woman, man, Indian, etc. Then he goes further and he says, but I, more than just being a particle of consciousness, I am individual consciousness, with individuality. And I should serve God. I should serve Vishnu, Ram, Krishna. And he begins a life of a bhakta, Vaishnava. Seva, Shravana Kirtanam. But then, the search has to go, this is what I'm just repeating now, I want to the finishing point. But then the search hasn't stopped. The search for the light. Then the search as a sadhaka, as a practitioner of Vishnu Upasana, Ram Upasana, Krishna Upasana, worship of Ram, Krishna, Vishnu. Then the search continues. We haven't reached the final light. We haven't attained the final point of realization. Self-realization means to realize the self. Who am I in relation to God, to Krishna? Until that light is revealed, that Gyan deep, that Atma deep, that light on the soul, then the search continues. So sadhana, the practice of sadhana, chanting, hearing, chanting, remembering, we're still searching. Krishna, I am your eternal part and parcel. I am an independent spiritual being, and you've expanded me to love you in a particular way. Please reveal what is that way. I'm in darkness. It's not clear to me. Am I to love you as a servant? Am I to love you as a friend, as a lover, as a parent? What was your intention? It's eternally fixed. Let's say if someone, he's a king, and he says, he tells his minister, bring me 50 workers. He brings 50 laborers. He said, listen, your duty is to take care of the horses. Your duty is to sweep the veranda. Your duty is to wash my clothes. And he assigns them. That's their seva. That's their duty. It's given, delegated, appointed by the king. So this is the point I want to mention yesterday, that we have, the search isn't over yet. Okay, I have my guru. I have my initiation. I'm practicing sadhana. But that gnawing, that deep yearning in the heart, that takes a shape of lamentation. It takes a shape of crying for mercy. It takes a shape of surrender. Time is running out. Time is running out. Now, Krishna, you know, it's a secret only to me, not to you. You know who I am. But reveal to me. And some guru may give some idea, or may even reveal to you. But even then, you have to capture it. You have to see it in the realized heart. So this point I wanted to make. So this vibhav is what this chapter is about. And these are the excitants of rasa, the stimulants, or the persons and things that cause the tasting of mellows. The causes of tasting are two types. Alamban means the support. It refers to the subjects, the persons named Sri Krishna and Krishna's devotees. That's the Alamban. They possess in their hearts spiritual love, known as Stai Rati, or Stai Bhav, Madhura Rati, Shantabhak, like this. This heart's position in Stai Rati can be transformed into Ras when it combines with these. So one is Udipan. These are the objects, the environment, the objects in the environment. We heard about the peacock. Garanga saw the peacock's neck. That became Udipan. It rose his Stai Rati, Madhura Rati, Prema Vesh. He saw this peacock's color, the iridescent blue color of the peacock's neck. Then he became elated and absorbed in Prema Vesh. So this was a stimulant. This is called the Vibhav, Udipan. And he's the Lamban. And Lamban has two categories. The Prema Shraya and the Prema Vishaya. The reservoir of love and the object of love. Generally, it can go either way, depending. If the devotee is the object of love, then Krishna is the Ashraya. And devotee is the Vishaya. Generally, Krishna is the object of love. He's a Prema Vishaya. And devotee is Prema Ashraya. We say Radharani is a Prema Ashraya. Prema Ashraya Radharani. Guru Pada Shraya. We take shelter on the Guru. Now the third Rati, or type of Bhav, that combines to form Ras is called Anubhav. Anu means that which follows. These are external actions which display or reveal the internal spiritual sentiments in the heart of a pure devotee. There are 13 of these. Dancing, rolling on the ground, as we heard Lord Chaitanya, his Anubhavas. His Vibhav is the Udipan of the parrot, the peacock's neck, simulated his Madhura, conjugal love. And then what followed after that? Anu Bhav, the Bhav that followed that Bhav, then rolling on the ground, drooling, we read about this, singing, trembling, roaring, yawning, breathing heavily. The Anubhavas, they follow an emotion and they strengthen it. They're called the ensuants. The visible actions which illustrate the spiritual emotions situated in the heart. So it's a visible action, you can see. Something's going on here. Someone is crying or yawning at the level of bhava or prema. Something's being perturbed within his heart or her heart. These are conscious voluntary actions that result from heightened affection for Krishna that further accelerate and enhance that affection. So it's saying it's conscious, whereas sattvic bhavas are not, you can't control them. Like an anubhav, you may feel such a stimulation of your love, you just shout out, oh, Krishna, hankara. And then you just want to roll on the ground. It's voluntary. To some extent, it's listed like that. Although it actually, you're seized by the emotion. But it tries to explain how the difference between anubhavas. In other words, anubhava, the sensation is coming up. Oh, I want to roar. I want to ha, goranga, radha, ksham. But then you can sometimes, depending on the intensity of the anubhav, you can control. No, I won't sit in the temple now. I'll be quiet. I'll contain myself. But, so that's why they mean voluntary. It's coming up, but sometimes it's so great that you can't, you feel like, oh, I think I'm going to start drooling. So drooling's kind of, oh. Just like sometimes, in these emotional dealings, people, they can feel the heart is going this way, that way. Then they feel, oh, I think I cry, tears are about to come on. Everyone's had it. I feel crying is going on. They say, excuse me. And take off somewhere and cry in private. Or cry inside your pillow. Favorite partner for crying. So you can feel and then you somewhat control, at least temporarily, and then let loose on your privacy. So this is the anubhava, something like this. And then sattvic bhavs. Everyone's heard of ashta sattvic vikara. Eight symptoms of spiritual ecstasy arising exclusively from Vishuddha Sattva. In other words, when the heart is overwhelmed by emotions or sentiments in connection with the Mukhya Rati, which we say Madhura Rati, or the secondary rasas, the fear and astonishment and amazement, then there's involuntary, this ecstatic symptoms which are involuntary, unconscious. These are unconscious reactions arising directly from Shuddha Sattva, Krishna's internal potency. From the Shuddha Sattva enriched soul. So the sattvic bhavas we hear in this Shikshastakam prayer by Lord Gauranga. He says, Nayanam Galad Ashuva Varanam Gadgara Vriyagira Pulakira Vachivata Apukara. He says that I start Nayanam Galadashu, my eyes swell with tears, and I start crying, and I start kampa, I start trembling. So these are symptoms of sattvic bhavas that he cannot control. It's involuntary. So this is what it's saying here, that they just come on and there's eight of them. Stamba. Of course that's the one of that. Stamba means like a stamba, Gruta stamba. Becoming stunned, sweta, perspiring, romancha, hair standing on end, swara bhanga, faltering voice, kampa, trembling, vayavarnya, pallor, or a change of facial color. Your face becomes reddish or blue or in different shades depending on emotions and the movements of the life here. Ashu, tears, and pralaya, fainting, loss of consciousness. The sattvic bhavas are not bhavas or emotions. They're not really bhavas or emotions, but they're the outward expression, external signs of internal emotions. What is the cause of sattvic bhavas? Trembling, crying, hair standing on end, voice choking up, feeling dizzy, feeling giddy and dizzy. Oh, I'm feeling dizzy. I'm becoming stunned. Oh. Sometimes you see people in everyday life, if they see some amazing thing, they become stunned. We have all of foreign devotees, some foreign devotees here. They have the experience of Indians becoming stunned. Especially maybe the ladies. When the Videshi or foreign person, if he goes, I was all over India, and there goes to a train station, and Indians go, they're stunned. It's stumba. Stumba. They're like frozen in position. They're stumba. They can't move. It's like, what is it? I know you're just drinking a limpka like they are. But somehow, if a Videshi drinks a limpka, it can stun your senses, make you immobilize your senses. You know? Sometimes in the Govardhan Parikrama, we're passing by some Indian people and their children. And a little 7, 6, 8 year old boy points up, Mommy, Mommy, look, Videshi Parikrama. Videshi Parikrama, this is a very special type of Parikrama. You have to be, only Videshis can do this. If you're a Deshi, then you can't do this type of, you have to go over there, take a new birth, come back as a German or Russian, then you can get Videshi. So, stumba, stunned. You see that? Ever see an auto accident on a highway? That's stumba. Where's the head? Where's the tail? Everyone's stunned, looking to see where the body parts are and imagining how gory and how ghastly it could be or would be or really is. And then first it's that stumba. Then when you see that it's really gory, then you become, what is it? Astonishment, adbhuta or whatever it is. No, vibhatsa. Vibhatsa is horrible. Oh, how horrible. His head is over there. His tail is over there. That poor guy. I don't think we can sew him together again. he's finished. So these are the sattvic bhavas. So what are the cause? Sattvic bhav, these physical expressions of internal sentiments and ecstasies, they're due to discharge of intense psychic or mental energy, which is caused by Krishna prema. We're talking about rasa, bhakti ras, prema ras, bhav, and level of bhava. Very advanced devotees and the Nitya Parishads, eternal associates of the Lord, they have such experiences. And these spiritual expressions are vibrations by which disturb the balance or equilibrium of the psychic and vital being, the mind and body. And love of God, our psychological constitution, I mean, this is a perfection, a pinnacle of spiritual attainment, prema. Prema Pamartha Mahan. A great attainment is not dharm, art, ka, moksha. It's dharm, art, ka, moksha. And the fullest expression of moksha is to enter an eternal loving relationship with Ram, Vishnu, or Krishna. This is the topmost, most ecstatic, sweetest, deepest, profound experiences of moksha. Prema moksha. So Krishna prema. Beyond moksha. Pancha purushartha. Panchama Purush art. Art. The objectives, the attainments of the Purusha, of the man, the being, is five. Dharmart Kamoksh, most people end with that. Brahma Sayuja Mukti, Vaikuntha Prapti, Bas, Swarga Mukti. But beyond, Gauranga Mahaprabhu came to teach, this is the Panchama Purusharta, the fifth goal of life. So these experiences happen there. That the mind, it's explained here, the psychological condition is worked up to such an extent that it brings into play some other parts of our nervous system, which don't ordinarily function. It is these that cause such extraordinary changes in the physical body. So there's some description of how the mechanism, how spiritual emotions produce physical effects. Of course, these, in a reflected way, these physical effects, these sattvic vikar, bhava vikar, these transformations of feelings or emotions or sentiments, they're also seen in the material world. Love stories, you read a love story, or you see a movie, or you attend a drama, and you cry, or you laugh, the hero laughs and you laugh, and you identify, and you experience some type of ras, but this is called a reflection, rasabhas. It's a reflection, it's not what we're describing. But some of the similar experiences are there. People watch a movie, they cry. People are engaged in ras or prema lila with Krishna, they cry. Krishna's devotees sometimes get angry. Oh, why you didn't come? We waited all night in the kunja for avisar, and now you're coming in the sunrise. What is this, Sham? And some man is there, Manini Radha. She becomes angry. But then anger is also there in mundane material drama or movies. But it's different. One is transcendental and eternal and only produced by in a pure soul. And it's the goal of human life to experience bhakti ras. These strong emotion, spiritual emotions, they agitate the chitta significantly. Chitta means the consciousness. Chitta. Chitta virodha, says in the yoga. Yoga Sutras. Chitta virodha, whatever it is. Chitta influences the mind. Then when the mind becomes strongly agitated, it disturbs the prana. Prana, you heard of pranayama, the pranayama. The life airs, the living force of the body. Chitta, consciousness. There's atma, chitta, and then chitta's consciousness. The connection between this body, the energy of the soul, atma, chitta, then man, then buddhi, then indriya, the senses and the body. Man and buddhi are working together, and like two aspects of the same thing. Chitta influences the mind directly, then strongly agitated mind disturbs the life air of prana. The dislodged or aggravated prana, life air, contacts and disturbs various physical elements in the body. The air element in the body, the fire, the water, the ether, the earth. These disturbed elements in our body is made of elements. You read Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 4. Bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhirevacha. This body is made of ashtadhatu, ashtaprakriti, eight elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the fundamental building blocks of the material body. We have air in our body. We have gas, ether, gas, air, fire in the stomach, fire in the eyes, fire in the brain. These are there. So when the prana comes and mixes, then something happens. Depending on which element, which of these five elements that the life air contacts, a specific symptom is produced and manifested in the external body. This is the science of ecstatic symptoms. So when the prana, the heart gets stimulated to heightened and stimulated to a great extent, then that heart, chitta, heart, then the heart interacts with the chitta, the heart, this excited chitta. Then the chitta pushes on the mind. The mind is controlled by pranayama. Everyone knows that. You do anulom vilom to pacify the mind. The mind is controlled by prana. So the prana pushes the mind. Then who does the mind push? The mind pushes the senses. You don't know? Vacho vegam, manasakrota vegam. Vegams means the pushing. The mind is pushing us. Eat this. You just had dinner. No, eat more. Have a snack. Have a tikki, potato, alu tikki, this, that, whatever. Oh, that looks good. Stop. Give me one. You just stuffed yourself to here. Now you're adding more snacks. The mind is pushing. So the prana, mind's pushing the prana, then the prana starts pushing the senses. The prana combines with the water element of the body and produces ashru, crying. The prana combines with the air element of the body and the hair stands on end. Like this. Or one feels hoarse and dry voice. These are all described. If it combines with air, there's faltering voice. And if it combines with earth, if prana combines with earth, then one becomes stunned. Our prana moves in such a way it combines with the earth element. Bhumi, the earth element. Our bones are made of earth. So many minerals and all these things. Calcium, phosphorus, all these things. So then the prana goes there, our muscles, everything becomes stunned. You see in drama sometimes, they do it like this. So you have to control your prana. They freeze, frozen scene, you know, they do that. And you're supposed to look like a wax figure or frozen. It's very effective. Closing note on a drama. Well, this is Vibhav. Then there's Vyavachari Bhavas. These are waves. Because Sanchari is called Sanchari. Sanchari, like Hindi. Sanchara. Charachara means to move here and there, completely move. So Sanchari means moving. Moving sentiments, moving emotions. And Vyabhichari means the same thing. Chari, a Kechari. Kechari is a witch. Putana was a Kechari. K means sky. Okay, and Chari means to move. Brahmachari. He's supposed to move in Brahman. But how does he get married? That I don't understand. Brahmachari. He's supposed to move in Brahman. Brahmachari means aham brahmasmi, I'm Brahman. But now I think maybe this girl is also a Brahmasmi. So now I lose my chari, I become a star. I was a chari, I was just moving here and there, brahmachari, but now I'm a star. Griha, star. Star means fixed, move and cut. You're no more chari, hey, go this temple, that temple, hey, get a job, this apartment, work 9 to 5, 10 to 10, this, that. Ooh, my chara is over now. So this is this Vyavachari, an emotional experience resulting from intensified affection for Krishna that embellishes and further stimulates the affection. There's 33 internal emotions which emerge from the nectarine ocean of one's eternal, permanent loving relationship with Krishna. It's called stahi bhav. Yashoda eternally loves Krishna as a mother, a motherly love. That's her eternal loving attitude. And Subal and Sridham and Balaram, they eternally love Krishna as his friends, sakas. So we also have an eternal loving posture or relationship with Krishna. And when this is the basis. So these 33, that's the ocean. These Vyavacharis, they move on that ocean. They rise in that ocean. They settle down. These include, what are these emotions? Anxiety, despondency, jubilation. These are auxiliary feelings of transitory character, which appear and disappear like waves in the sea. But they leave the dominant mood of love unaffected. In other words, sometimes Mother Yashoda becomes very anxious for the safety of her Lala. The coward boys come and say, oh, we went to the forest today and this big snake came, Agasura, and we all went inside there and he swallowed us. And then we cried out, Krishna, Krishna, and he came and saved us. Oh, this is happening in the pasturing grounds? This is the next day. She said, Lala, I'm very anxious. So this is, her love is motherly love. But then when she remembers he's going out the next day, oh, yesterday that Agasura demon, and what's going to be there today? I'm very anxious. You stay home. So this feeling rises up. And then Balaram says, no, it's okay. Gobata is there. Mandali, Bhadra is there. And they have their bows and arrows. And they'll be on either side of Krishna protecting him. And I'm there. I'm Balaram. I'm protecting. Don't you worry. It's okay. Then she becomes mollified and pacified. She's okay. Then her anxiety goes back, disappears. So it comes up and goes down. So the potential to create waves is always there in the ocean. So the potential in anyone's eternal loving relationship can always manifest different bhavas, anubhavas at any time, according to the circumstance, according to the exchanges, according to the excitement and intensity of the love that's generated in the heart between Krishna and his devotees. Sanchari, it's pretty easy if you know Hindi. The word Sanchari Bhav means that which moves. The Bhav that moves comes and goes. Here's an example from this world. And lots of mothers here. And sons also. We're also sons, no? This is Vyavachari Sanchari Bhav. Seeing her baby crawling, especially in Braj, seeing her baby crawling precariously and dangerously along the chata, the roof, drastically intensified the motherly affection. Right? She said, oh, what are you doing? So by that moment, she just came up the stairs and she was looking for him. She thought he was downstairs, but somehow he crawled up the stairs and he's now on the rooftop. And just flop off anytime I see next door. And then the mother, she comes up, sees him. As soon as she has that momentary darshan of her son on the edge of the roof, then she immediately becomes full of anxiety. This is Gona Ras. Then that momentary darshan is embellished that her Vatsalya Bhav, her motherly affection, intensifies drastically because she sees that. And then when she sees that dangerous sight of her son about to fall off the roof, then she becomes very anxious. Oh, ha! Huh? Then her Vatsalya, I protect my Lala to protect him. Then so many things happen also. She perspires, starts perspiring, heart starts going palpitating. She maybe her voice shows, oh, what are you doing? And runs to pick him up. This intense emotional experience corresponds to Vyavachari Bhav, means transitory emotions that result from intensified affection, which embellishes and stimulates that affection. For example, when Krishna was wrapped in the coils of the deadly Kaliya serpent, and Mother Yashoda came there and saw her son, when she saw Krishna, her intense motherly love for Nandalal intensified drastically, and it caused a response of acute distress. Two gonarasas, two secondary sentiments of love to support and expand the primary sentiment of Vatsalya Bhav, motherly love, arose in her heart. One was called Shanka, and the other was called Trasa. Seeing her Krishna and those coils of that Kaliya serpent, she immediately became distressed, Shanka, and then alarmed. And then Trasa, she became fearful and apprehensive. These are Vyavachari Bhavs that further stimulate Mother Yashoda's motherly affection for Krishna. And that affection became stimulated so much, her voice choked up, she cried, she trembled, she changed colors. Then what happened? She went through all these septic bhavs. She couldn't control them. Morcha, pralaya. She fainted on the banks of the Yamuna. Ah. This is the love, motherly love. Sometimes it happens in this world also. Is someone faints. A mother, someone may say, oh, your son, I think your son is... Oh, he's got run over on the street. And she comes out and sees her son lying there. She'll faint. Depends on how much attachment and love she has. She'll go out. Seeing that maybe he's dead, unfortunately. Died. So that's pralaya, devastation, fainting, swooning, unconsciousness, murchita. Bhava can go to that height. Bhakti, this is summary. Bhakti Ras occurs. What is Bhakti Ras? It occurs when our affectionate, permanent, loving relationship with Sri Krishna, which we all have, Stahi Bhav, Stahi Rati, becomes intensified and stimulated to a relishable crescendo by the mixture of these different ingredients. Attachment as a mother, then distress, and amazement and worry, then the love comes more. Vibhav, Anubhav, Subject Bhav, and Santre Bhav. When a liberated, purified soul, the permanent loving mood in his heart, as Shantaras, Dasiras, Sakiras, Vatsalya, Madhurya, when it mixes with these other secondary feelings and sentiments, distress, anxiety, fear, so they produce an extraordinary taste of love in the heart of the bhakta. That is called bhakti ras. Bhakti ras is an indescribably wondrous flow of charm, an indescribably wondrous flow of charm. Ras is a kind of numinous joy of delight. One acharya said. In other words, it's to be tasted, rasa. The ras, sweet rice has taste, rasa. And water has a taste, pure water. So ras ultimately has to be tasted. Who can taste it? When to taste it? How to taste it? We explain something about how it's tasted. When it's tasted at the platform of bhava, prema, Krishna prema, divine love of God, that's when. Now we hear about it and we read about it. And we read different pastimes and shastras. And then we develop interest to have this real experience, not this jada ras, this prakrita ras, this material ras. Husbands and wives are there, that's conjugal love, madhurya ras. And friends and friends are there, that's sakavav. Bosses and workers are there, masters and servants, this is dasi ras. And there's the neutral supporting elements and aspects of our environment. The house, the furniture, the trees. This would be the shantaras. They're supporting our, quote, leelas, our pastimes, our bed, our couch. Our bed, so many leelas go on in our bed, right? X-rated, Y-rated. So that bed is the shantaras, is giving support, it's helping the lila in the material world. But that's so limited, and it's temporary. When the body goes, it goes. But the soul can experience eternal loving relationship and rasa with Krishna. And that's, we have a term, nam ras. All of us are chanting the holy name of the Lord, nam ras, and that nam should produce ruchi, nam ruchi. And ruchi becomes, as we become purified, that nam ruchi will become nam ras. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasa vigra. There's a verse from Padma Purana. Nama chintamani Krishna's chaitanya rasa vigra. Rasa vigra. The holy name is a very personified form of ras. Chid ras. Ananda ras. Blissful ras. So this is we will get to the kingdom of Ras. We will realize our Siddhadeya and we'll uncover. Our search will find fulfillment. Our search for perfection. Our search for realizing ourself and God will find fulfillment when we realize who we are. Who am I in Krishna's Leela? I'm in Krishna's Leela. Now I'm in Srishti Leela. It's a temporary role with a temporary body. I go on a stage and I dress myself as a monkey. I'm a human being, but I'm dressed as a monkey and I act in the scene of Ramayana. Attack! Lanka! Let's go! Sugriv! Hanuman! So then I come off the stage and I take off my monkey outfit and I'm a human being. So that's the Leela. Disguised as a monkey. I'm playing on a dramatic stage. So we're all in disguises. Monkeys, maybe. Dogs, monkeys, human beings. This is not me. This is someone. If a guy puts on a monkey suit, all hairy thing like this, and he goes and shows his wife, oh, that's you. She knows it's not him. She knows very well. This is my husband's form covered by this monkey suit. So Krishna knows very well that this monkey suit, this covering that we're wearing, is just part. That's the suit that we wear to play in Srishti Leela, the Maya Jagat. But we also have a form by which we'll serve in Krishna in the Haridam, in the spiritual world. That we have to find. And then in that spiritual form, then we relish all these rasas and experiences of divine love. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Ki Jai.